Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, we're Wolves Forest focused. Nottingham Forest are closing in on a game which could decide their Premier League fate as we continue to wait on news of the club's appeal against their points deduction. Joining me to discuss all that and the VAR audio against Everton is Greg Mitchell. Morning, Greg. How are you doing?
Good, yeah. Up early, took the dog for a walk, raring to go.
Raring to go. Good to hear it. Second guest is Emily Anderson. How are you doing, Emily?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, all good, thanks.
Good, good, good to have you with us. We'll kick off with, let's talk about the points deduction. We don't know anything yet, but the first thing we said before we started recording is, do we know, when will we know, et cetera, which is what all the fans are talking about. And then when we do know, I'll do a second video probably. But I suppose, Greg, the thing is, we're talking and a lot of people are saying it's going to be 2 points. I'm kind of worried now that even if it's 0 points, and we're still where we were, it's going to feel really deflating, even though it shouldn't, because we've all got our hopes up a bit, haven't we, now?
Yeah, I mean, 1 point would be incredible, though. If we just get anything, what a lift that'll give us. If we don't get anything, then we know what we've got to do anyway. We've still got to win on Saturday. So it changes nothing other than it'd just be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be really nice and warranted. We do think it's unfair, isn't it? It's not right how it's all happened. So, yeah, give us some back and give them us whilst we're on air, please. That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be good. If you can do it while we're on air, that would be lovely. I suppose, Emily, I know Greg says it doesn't change anything, but does it change anything psychologically? And I suppose the question is psychologically for the players, because they're only human. I suspect they're getting their hopes up as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, number one, they're professionals, and I think outwardly they'd say that a points deduction won't, you know, whether we get any points back or not won't make any difference to how the lads play on Saturday. But of course it's going to make a difference. And my only worry is we're all banking on getting 1 point, possibly 2 points back. And if we end up getting nothing back, like you say, is that going to deflate us? I think the players are professionals, so they'll obviously be buzzing, won't they, if they get a couple of points back. But the priority is to beat Sheffield United on Saturday. Points back or points not back, anything we get is a bonus. And if we don't get anything, you know, we're still in the same position. If we can beat Sheffield United on Saturday, that just puts us in a really good position.
The other thing we'll talk about before we get to the game, Greg, is we haven't discussed the audio release with Howard Webb being massively interrogated by Michael Owen. Excellent questions there, as ever, on Ref Watch or whatever they call it. I can't remember. Mike the Ref or something. Anyway, we heard the audio of the third penalty appeal, Ashley Young on Callum Hudson-Odoi. I mean, it was a bit of a mess, I thought. What was your take on it?
I just can't believe they can be so sure. I can't believe sitting in that studio, he claims to have seen what he saw. It was just ridiculous. I can't remember the wording exactly about the coming together. It's not coming together, it's assault. So, yeah, just incredible. The incompetence to be able to be so sure of that. And then last night, both of them are in the Champions League semi-final, reffing and varring it. So there's your punishment. If they see no wrong with that, then it will never get any better. If they don't learn from that incident, then, you know, it's just going to get worse and worse.
They called it a tussle, I think.
That was it, a tussle.
Yeah.
What I find interesting, is that the national media now are very much seem to be in Forest camp, and also social media, because when that statement was first released about how upset Forest were with those three penalty decisions, you know, we were a bit of an embarrassment, weren't we? And it was an embarrassing statement, probably badly timed. And now I feel like the likes of Talk Sport and various other outlets seem to be fully backing Forest now, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I think so. When you see how bad it was, because as well, Greg, they only looked at it from one angle, didn't they? I could see. Surely, if you look at, if it's a tussle, you have to look at in front and behind. Yeah. Then you see he went through the back of him, didn't he?
I find it incredible that they're, one of their solutions that they think will benefit them is to do what they do in the cricket and rugby, where it isn't, with all due respect, not as intense as a partisan football game. So if they're going to start showing live replays on the screen, then God help them. Because, you know, all he had to do, I think, on that game is look at the screen himself. And if it's going to take it to be on the big screen in a stadium where we can all see it, then God, that isn't going to go down very well at all, especially when it's that blatant and obvious. They've just got to change it, because if they can't see how wrong it is, then it's just got no hope.
Yeah. What do you think about miking up the refs, Emily, in principle, during VAR, or at least when they're announcing the VAR decisions? Is there anything in that, would you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think showing the videos will just cause more controversy, because everyone sees most decisions you can interpret how you want. But actually, I think maybe if we can hear what the ref says, and hear what the VAR says, that will make it clear to people. Because I think the frustration with those penalty decisions against Everton is from the telly, I don't know what it was like in the stands, Greg, but from watching it on the telly, it didn't feel like VAR had even looked at it. They just carried on with the game. We didn't get any of the replays. We didn't get VAR checking possible penalty. It's not knowing what's going on, but like Greg says, because of the partisan atmosphere and the way that football is, could it cause more problems? Because if you'd have heard Anthony Taylor say he got the ball, and then you hear Stuart Atwell saying it was a coming together, it was a tussle, I think that would just cause riots, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would set the crowd off. That would. Yeah. It was just a really cursory test check as well. It wasn't even a proper check. So yeah, disappointing, and you can see why Forest are so angry about it, certainly. Right, let's talk about the game on Saturday then. How are you feeling about it just in general, Emily?
I feel like we should be confident about it. You know, that there's no hiding from the fact that we are in a very, very precarious position in the table. Luton have got to play Everton, so they could possibly get something out of that. But we should be beating Sheffield United. I know they're not geographically a local rival, but they really do feel like they are, particularly over the last few years. And I feel like they're going to want to get one back on us because obviously we knocked them out in the playoffs semi-finals a couple of years ago. Also, they'll probably want to get one over us because of Morgan Gibbs-White, and there's lots of ex-Forest players playing for Sheffield United. So it feels like a really tasty fixture anyway. Our away form, obviously, we know is terrible, but I think Saturday's the day that we really just need to go at them and go for all 3 points. And I think if we play to even maybe like 80% of our ability, we should be beating them. And hopefully we can go in with the same attitude that we had against Man City and then get something out of it. I hate saying game's a must win, but it is a must win. It is 3 points or bust, really, for me.
Do you agree with that, Greg? I do. I feel like we have to win the game. How do you feel?
I feel like we go into this like it's the first semi-final of a playoff game. We've got three massive games now, and it feels like that it did 2 years ago going there. And I am worried how they've not won. They've conceded the most goals in God knows how long. Bloody, bloody. But you keep hearing like, oh, no, classic Forest. But I do believe that we've got it within us just to get it. I really do. Just go at them and really put something on and show how good we can be against the lesser teams. Because we haven't seen it this season. You know, take what we did at Man City and put it on the pitch at Sheffield United and we should win.
And we know we can score. I was going to say, we know we can score goals, don't we? There's no problem with that. And we know that Sheffield United have leaked goals. They've beaten Derby's record now of most goals conceded over a 38 game season. So we should feel really confident about being able to score those goals. It's whether we can cancel out those silly mistakes at the back.
It is indeed a game dripping with context, as Dan said here, because there's two extra factors, Greg, as well, I suppose. Firstly, Sheffield United are already down. And secondly, we'll know Luton versus Everton, the result, because that's played on Friday night. What kind of bearing do you think that might have on our players and our fans' mindset?
Whatever happens on Friday night makes us try that little bit harder. If Luton win, if Everton win, if it's a draw, it is, we're going to be watching every single kick of that game. Of course we are. But whatever the outcome is, I think it has to spur us on one way or another. We all know what we want. We want Everton to do us a favour. And, you know, there's talk of them going insolvent and stuff now. So that could be 12 points automatically. And then, so that Sean Dyche is not switching off from this. He's going to know it's a must-win game for him. And of course, he likes Nottingham. He's always here, isn't he? So he could do us a favour for once rather than beat us. But yeah, it's huge. There's also our points potentially coming back, which has an effect of the game. Ben Osborne playing, Ben Brereton Diaz playing, you know, Gibbs White on the other side. There's so much about this game. The hatred between the fans, you know, in recent years, only Derby's worse than Sheffield United away for me, for the atmosphere, vitriol, whatever you want to say. So this is a huge game for them. They've had such a miserable season. My mate lives across the road from Bramall Lane, and he often watches them all walking out after 30 minutes with a little smile on his face. So I'm sure they're really going to be going for this one, and it does make you nervous, but it also does give you that huge game feel, which we usually step up for.
Yeah, I think it's 9 points if you go into administration, which Everton, I don't know if they will, but they're in real trouble. It sounds like this. You'll have followed it a bit closer than me, Greg, because you've got Everton mates, but 777, how many sevens there are partners. Their airline's gone bust and they can't finance the deal. And even if they can finance their deal, it sounds like a mess. So, yeah, we'll keep our eye on that one. Greg made a good point there, Emily, I think. Whatever way we spin the narrative, you can make the argument it should spur Forest on. And I suppose that's what we've got to do, is rely on these players to turn up on the day, which they haven't done enough, I guess, this season. But this is their chance to take a huge step towards safety.
Yeah, I really hope they know how big it is for us fans. I mean, they know how big it is in the context of the season in terms of us wanting to stay up. But also I hope the likes of Yatesy has said to the squad, this is a massive game. This is a big game for the fans, because Sheffield United and Forest don't like each other. This is, you know, this means so much to us. And this, like you say, this is only rivaled by the Derby County game. So we, you know, they've got to go in with that fighting mentality. And just, I know we've said it time and time again, but just go in from the kickoff, absolutely tear them apart. And that you look at the talent in our squad, we should be able to do that. So as long as they go in with that attitude, I think we'll be okay. But I can see it being one of those really nervy games with maybe one or two goals in it, and it might not start in our favour, but hopefully it'll end in our favour. It'll be really, really close. I'm sure it will be.
Rusty Warrior makes a good point in the comments. Everton aren't going to go into administration before the end of the season. That would be unless they really know they're safe, then it might be a fair move, but I don't think they will. I think it was Pete said on the podcast the other day, Greg, that we'll know what kind of shape we're in 5 or 10 minutes into the game, because I feel like the way we start the game is going to be pretty definitive. We can't go there and sit back and be passive and encourage the Sheffield United fans and team, can we?
No, and, you know, go back to that playoff game again. Let's start like that, scoring after 9 minutes. That'll do. I just think that Sheffield United game at home, first home game of the season, whatever it was, that was horrible. That was an awful performance. That scraped through 2-1, wasn't it, on a Friday night? And I walked away from that thinking, blooming hell, like that, you almost weren't happy walking out. If we'd have known what we'd have known now, we'd have been delighted, seeing as we haven't really won that many. But yeah, they're still a Premier League outfit, no matter what we think. It's not like we're going to a League One team, although they've played like it a bit this season. It's huge. It really is huge. I don't think there's a bigger game this season for us, really, with everything that's on the line. So just really go for it early, get that early goal, and then you never know, we could have our first comfortable game this season.
Hopefully. Yeah. I'm not sure we will.
And our first 6 points. Like, we've not done 6 points over anyone, and we've got two chances to do it with this and the Chelsea game coming up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we haven't done double over anyone, I'll do it. Mm. Right, what a season. Just before we go on to our team lineups, then, a word for our sponsors, the Trent Navigation. Let's hope that we come through the next couple of games unscathed and the last day of the Premier League season. If you're not going to Burnley, then make sure you head down to Trent Navigation and the Big Shed to catch all the drama and the jeopardy in the 4 p.m. kickoffs. There's a range of beers, including plenty of cask ales. All televised games in the UK will be shown on the big screen. We still don't know if it's going to be Forest v Burnley. I kind of hope it's not, because if it's not, it means we're safe, I'd imagine. And then you can get food in the barbecue food court. Sunday roasts are available, and much, much more. Right, we'll come on to our team lineups and see what everyone's thinking. Nuno hasn't done his press yet, but we did see Murillo and Bolly photoed in training. No Nico Williams, unfortunately, and he did go off with what looked like a muscular injury. So I suspect he's out, which is reflected in Emily's team selection. I'll put it up. I've only done one graphic for Emily and Greg because they're basically exactly the same, apart from the right back. And I guess, Greg, you would, if Williams is out, would you pick Montiel anyway?
I mean, it just sounds a bit lazy, that, does it? Sounds like you're giving yourself an excuse here. yeah, I would. Yeah, there you go.
Good. Right, let's put this graphic up of Emily's. So it's basically, this is an unchanged team, I think. But Sells in goal, Niakate, Bolly, Murillo at the back. Montiel and Aina as wing-backs, assuming Williams isn't fit. Danilo in midfield with Morgan Gibbs-White. Elanga, Hudson-Odoi in support of Chris Wood. What's your thinking there, Emily? Were you tempted to go back to the back four or not?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I've been sort of toing and froing as to whether to go back to a back four or stick with the team that played against Man City, obviously barring Nico. But I know we lost 2-0 against Man City, but for me, it's one of the best games we've played so far this season. Really gutted for Nico Williams. It looks like he's not going to be fit. And I know people were saying Montiel didn't do that well against Man City, but he was okay. He was fine. He was okay. And I think having the back five as well means that Aina can push forward, so he's not got as much defensive responsibility. I don't think Danilo had a very good game against Man City. I know some people say he did, but for me, there were too many stray passes. But because of where we are, and I think the really important thing at the moment for the team is to have some consistency. Let's hope that we get the Danilo that we know can play and then can shine, because he's just like the rest of the team as a whole, I guess. But Danilo individually can be quite inconsistent, but he can be brilliant. The only thing I'd say is maybe have it more as a midfield, as more of a diamond rather than that flat midfield that we had against Man City, just to make us a little bit more attacking. And hopefully Chris Wood can get back into his scoring ways against Sheffield United. But I think that's kind of where we should be, and just try and keep the team consistent and hopefully score lots of goals.
Someone said in the comments, I've got the centre backs in the wrong order. I probably have, but I just think Bolly should play in the middle of the three anyway. I think he played more to the right against City. What about Emily mentioned Danilo? I guess the question is, do you play Ryan Yates if you play this formation, Greg? Would he be in your team? And if so, who would drop out?
I think, did Emily say it earlier about Ryan Yates getting in and explaining to these players what this game means?
I hope he has. I hope he has.
That makes me think that maybe he is the player for this game. Murillo's going to score. Heard it here first. I think he's. It's a perfect game for him to have a little go. But yeah, maybe Ryan Yates. I wouldn't be surprised. And I certainly wouldn't be upset if he plays, because he understands it, like you said, and he could really, really cause some problems, get some fouls, and give us some opportunities to get some set piece goals finally.
What about Nuno Tavares, Emily, instead of Montiel, and Aina plays on the right? Because I think Nuno likes Tavares. Mm. I thought Montiel did pretty well, actually.
I know some people were saying I thought it was okay. Yes, I know Nuno does like Tavares, doesn't he? But he had a bit of a howler when he came on for his cameo against Wolves. I just think we've had so many changes in that back line that we've just got to stick with what we've got. Montiel did fine. Aina was absolutely brilliant against Man City. He was my man of the match. In an ideal world, I'd probably shove Aina onto the right and bring in my friend Harry Toffolo. But again, I just think I've got to take any personal feelings I have out of it, because I think for the team, we've got to stick with what we've got. But I think Toff's another great one to have in the dressing room. I think he'll be a really good man to fire them up on Saturday. And with regards to Yates in the midfield, I did sort of think about that. And then, you know, equally, I'd be really happy if he started the game as captain, because we know what his intent will be. And there's been a lot of love for him on the Forest socials this week, because of his 200th game, and they've been giving him lots of love. So it wouldn't surprise me if he started, actually.
Yeah, fair play to Ryan Yates. A great achievement. Nice video as well, with his teammates talking about the value he brings to the squad. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him start. One other player, potentially, Greg, I suppose, is Gio Reyna. But if we go to a back four. But I did speak to a Sheffield United fan for the preview. It's out tomorrow. And he said any kind of pace against their defence just kills them. So does it feel like a Reyna game to you, or do you stick with Hudson-Odoi and Elanga?
Even I'll say stick with Hudson-Odoi and Elanga and Aina as well. You know, the Premier League have been sucking up to us, haven't they? And put that little video out of him absolutely destroying Kyle Walker. And that's what we need. We need to get the pace down that wings, get the balls in, give it Chris Wood and score. It's that simple. That's all we'll do.
What about Wood, Emily? I feel like this is the game where he's going to come good after the last couple. There is some pressure on him, though, because he's missed some really big chances in the last three games, and it's an obvious statement, but he can't keep doing that, can he?
No, and I don't think he will. I think he's I was going to say he's one of the more mature players, isn't he? He knows what he's doing. He'll be fine. I think whatever, you know, something wasn't working for him at the weekend. There was talk of the pitch not being watered, which may not have helped him, but I don't know how true that would be. But no, I think that this is the perfect game for Chris Wood. And I think if he bags one, he might bag three, hopefully. So I don't have any concerns about him at all. He just seems like a really cool customer. And he was probably equally as frustrated as we all were by missing those chances on Sunday. And I'm sure he got a bit of a ripping in the dressing room. But yeah, I'm sure he'll be absolutely fine. And it's quite exciting to think that the pace of Elanga could really destroy their defence. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
The pitch thing was funny. I know people laughed at it, but someone did message me who knows football during the game and said, Christ, the pitch is really bobbly. And they were sat pitch side. I don't know. Maybe there was something.
What are you suggesting?
That we left it as a bobbly pitch, but then it rained all day. So how do you do that unless you've covered the pitch?
It's made on. It is literally sand and a bit of grass, isn't it? So it doesn't matter how long it rains for, it drains away straight away. The drainage is ridiculous. So I like it. I like the old Brian Clough tactics and leaving the grass along in the corners and all that.
This person messaged me, they know their football, and they messaged me before Guardiola or the post-match interviews and said the pitch is really doesn't look very good and the ball's not running smoothly. So I don't know, maybe it was a deliberate tactic, who knows, but yeah, I have done a second graphic just for a back four. We basically know what, how it would work, but I've put Yates in here with Danilo and then Montiel at right back. So you're basically sacrificing a centre half to get Ryan Yates in and push Gibbs White further forwards. But when I look at that team, Emily, I kind of prefer our fullbacks pushed on. I think we should win the game with two defenders or three defenders, really. But do you just feel a little bit more comfortable with three in the back?
Yeah, I just think this lineup is, you know, this is a decent lineup, but I feel like Aina's really, particularly Aina, is really restricted then, isn't he? He has to really think about his defensive duties. And we saw his explosive runs against Man City at the weekend. So I think a back five works better for him. And also, Bolly isn't the quickest, is he? So again, I think he works better when he's in a three. I don't know why, but the midfield of Yates and Danilo just... Yeah, it just kind of scares me a little bit. I think I prefer the back five for Sheffield United or going forward. I don't know why we haven't done it more often this season. Am I right in thinking it was Nuno's first back five against Man City?
Yes, as Forest manager, yeah.
As Forest manager, yeah. So interesting that he's changed tack now. Hopefully he'll stick with it.
I think when you look at it on paper like that, I just like the back three more. I suppose... it's just like you can get the fullbacks further forwards, Greg, as well. And Montiel worries me a little bit defensively. It lets Murillo get on the ball a bit more. Does it feel a little bit more comfortable for this Forest squad for you, or do you like that back four?
After seeing Saturday, and I know it's completely different at home, but it worked for us and it caused a threat, and we're a little bit more sure at the back because Sheffield United are still going to attack. They're still going to want to score at home against a team that they've got the best chance in a while of getting some goals against, especially with set pieces. So, yeah, I would stick with what we pretty much had at the Man City game and take that into this game with some goals and we win.
Any Sheffield United players that worry you, Emily? I don't know how much you've seen of them. I know Hamer scored a good goal against us. Brereton Diaz has done well. I guess he's going to be motivated. We shouldn't discount them as just complete losers. They do have good quality players within a bad team, I think.
And they can score. They scored... you know, they've scored twice against Man United. Bram Brereton scares me because of his skill, but also because he's an ex-Forest player and he's going to want to come and show us what he can do, isn't he? So, yeah, he terrifies me and I guarantee Brereton will probably score. Hamer, is he the guy that used to play for Coventry? He was brilliant for them. Yeah. Scored against us in the home fixture, didn't he? So, yeah, I mean, they're relegated, they're bottom of the Premier League, but... as Greg said, that they are still a Premier League team and we know the gulf between the Championship and the Premier League. So they may be one of the worst teams in the Prem, but I still don't think we can go in there with an attitude of, oh, this is an easy 3 points. I certainly haven't got that attitude. I've got it as a must win, but I think we've got to be totally on our game because they can score goals. And what we don't want to happen is for them to score an early goal and then shut up shop. And that would just be disastrous for us. I think my big worry has been Brereton Diaz.
Would you have Brereton Diaz back here next season if Villarreal are willing to sell him, which I imagine they are, Greg, if they're willing to loan him out in his first season? Would he be one you'd want back or not?
He's got the age, I suppose. He'd be, I don't know, if we're in the Championship, God, yeah, but for a Premier League team, I don't know. I think he needs to do a little bit more. I'd hope we'd be looking a bit stronger up the attacking line, but it is so hard to get attackers, isn't it? He was at Forest on Sunday, so maybe he's tapping a few up. Who knows? If he is, he knows what he needs to do on Saturday. Stay did quiet.
You, Greg, did you not try and give him a sneaky injury? Maybe stamp on his foot as you walked past him?
I had a few requests, but not sure whether he'll listen or not.
No, what I mean is you could have accidentally trodden on a toe or something and gone, oh, mate, Forest game.
I like him. I'd have him back. He can play wide right and through the middle. Him and Hamer, I think, are good players. But, yeah, I wouldn't have Jack Robinson back.
I can't stand that bloke. Even when they got relegated, even his interview has just annoyed me. He's in the Thomas Frank category for me. He's a whiner.
What did he say after that first playoff game? Said we were arrogant or something. Our fans were arrogant.
He's an idiot. I'd love to win. see his shoulders down and moping off the pitch at the end of the game on Saturday. I do.
You know he's going to score against us now, don't you?
No, he's not. No chance.
God, that will get clipped up if he scores by some Sheffield.
Yeah.
Let's spin a narrative about the other two games that affect us then, see how we're feeling about them. Luton at home to Everton on Friday night, Emily. So someone, I think it was Chris Aylmer, messaged me and said, oh, I'm worried about this game because, you know, Everton have got no pressure on them. And I replied straight away, well, saying Everton are playing brilliantly, they're not conceding. Mm. I really like them to win this game. Are you in Chris's nervous Irish camp or my more relaxed, we're going to be fine version of events?
Before we played Everton, I would have been in the nervous Chris Aylmer Irish camp because Everton couldn't buy a win and Luton were really hard to beat at home. But Everton seemed to have found some form. And yes, they're safe. Yes, they're probably on the beach. But equally, we've seen from when they played Liverpool and they are still very much enjoying this season. And I think they'll enjoy another win. I hope they can do the business for us. But then Luton, total cliche, but they are fighting for their lives. And Rob Edwards will see this as a game that can get them 3 points. I can't call it. I really can't call it. I hope Everton can do the business, but I hope we don't have to rely. I hope we don't have to rely on that result. Maybe it'll be a draw, maybe 2-2. That'll be all right, won't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think we need Everton. We need Luton not to win the game. So just Fulham. They've got Fulham at home on the last day, and Fulham, they are a good side, but their away record isn't good. I think they beat West Ham, and that's recently. That's about it. So yeah, that one does worry me. I'll ask you about the other one, Greg. Burnley, Newcastle at home. Newcastle are going for Europe, but their away record isn't so good. But you would think that Newcastle would have the quality to at least not lose that game, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they are a bit flaky, aren't they? And Burnley have only recently understood that they've got a fighting chance, haven't they? They've been down for months and suddenly they've crept into it. But yeah, I'm just so glad Newcastle have something to play for because their fans won't let them off. And they're really going to go for that. So it's horrible, isn't it? I've watched more Luton games on TV than any team this season, and I just hate doing it and got to do it again on Friday. But is the Burnley game same time as us on Saturday?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I'll just check that now. I'm just looking at the home and away tables. Newcastle are 15th in the away table. So they've only won 4 out of 16 away games so far. Which obviously isn't great. The home table, though, Burnley, 17 games played at home. They've won 2. They're 19th at home in the league table. And Luton are 18th. They've only won 4 out of their home games. For how much we talk about Kenilworth Road being this big fortress, it's interesting that the home v away table, the bottom 4 at home, Forest, Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United, the bottom 4 away, Burnley, then it's Fulham, Forest, Luton, Sheffield United. So it just shows that these teams, including us, are not very good home or away. So,
which is why we are where we are in the table.
Exactly. We don't have that home record to fall back on this season, unfortunately. Burnley kick off at exactly the same time as us. So we shall know how it shapes up by 5 o'clock. Right. Any final thoughts on the game, Emily, or the weekend in general?
No, not really. I just hope Forest win. That's all I hope. And I hate the fact that I'm having to constantly obsess over Burnley and Luton. It's really annoying. I want this season to be over and we start again. And next season, hopefully, we'll be in the Premier League. We can start again.
Yes, and obsess over points deductions as well, Emily.
And off the field stuff. I've got a hello to do, but I can't find. Bear with
save
me.
That. Save that for a minute. Hang on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Have you got any final thoughts on the game, Greg?
I just love Sheffield away games. I love them. It's a great city. I just hope so much that after the game we go for a couple of beers and enjoy it because, God, do we deserve one and are we ready for one? I remember that Southampton game last season where we finally got our win and thinking, God, it's took so long and then we've only had 2 more since. It'd be nice to get the 4th away win in 2 seasons on the board. but it's our biggest chance. It is. It's by far our biggest chance. So, yeah, nervous already, but it feels good to be nervous about football matters and not everything else that's going off with our club.
I do have another question for you, Greg, which I shall ask you. It's left over from our Q&A the other day, but before that, a quick word for our second sponsors, Home Move Estate Agents. If you're looking to buy or sell, then Ben Sales is the man for you. The number's on screen there, 0115 832 1321, and it's ben@homemoveea.co.uk. If you've got any inquiries, they are 5-star Google rated, so they are the people for you if you're looking to buy or sell in the Nottingham area. So, Greg, the other thing I was going to ask you, we did the Q&A the other day, and one of the questions was about safe standing, and I thought you were better qualified to answer than me with your thoughts on it, because I think you've been to Celtic, and obviously you've Fours have done a lot of work putting reports together and researching safe standing, and it's coming to the Sea Ground. It got washed away with all the season ticket news. We never really discussed it. So what are your thoughts on safe standing?
I'm disappointed with how it's gone, if I'm honest, because, you know, we've spent 15 years on this. We were told for 10 years you're wasting your time. It's never going to happen. I always knew that it could benefit the fan experience, but, you know, we're under no illusion. The only reason this is coming in at Forest now is because they've been told you have to do it for safety reasons. And when you're told you have to do it, you don't necessarily choose the most fan-friendly option. And the options that we've seen aren't the ones that we've spent years looking at and knowing which ones are good and bad. Those that have travelled away this season know that some rail seating, some safe standing's just worse than a normal seat. And unfortunately, that's what it feels like we're going for. So it is, it's a real shame, but I'm sure if and when we get that new stand or whatever happens in the future, that they'll look at it properly and decide on a much better option, because this is just going to be almost rails in existing seats, which doesn't create more space, doesn't create a better atmosphere or a better thing. But it is, because this, what is it, sports advisory group have demanded Forest, you know, do something about their persistent standing, and the only thing they can do is put rail seats in to make it safer for the fan. So yeah, it is, it's a shame how it's gone, but it's good in a weird way that after all these years clubs are finally doing it and seeing that it is a good option. I just wish that we could have the more expensive better one, but unfortunately it does come down for price, so I do have sympathy with them in that sense.
So did you want it to be in the A block then? Was that where you would have put
No, I want it to be where it is. The thing with rail seating and safe standing, if you have like a flush seat and then the bar, you've created loads of space in the aisle. What we'd be doing and what clubs like Man United have done is you almost have the existing plastic seat, which is that thick rather than like that, and then put this bar in place as well, which gives you even less space. So it doesn't have that feel of a standing area that a lot of the noisier fans enjoy to have.
What's your take, putting you on the spot here as well, what's your take on the season ticket refreshed offer? Speaking for yourself here, probably not for anyone else, I guess. Oh, what do you like feel about it?
Going to sound like a right grump now, aren't I?
Sorry.
No, it's again, it's not good enough. They haven't looked after the 18 to 20-year-olds. They've tried to help fans who are really struggling. I do appreciate that, but you know, giving 10% off in the club shop, but not on replica kits. Come on. Like, the kits are going to go up more than 10% anyway. So that's a bit of a whatever. And they've given you 5 more days to pay for your season ticket, when the nice option would have been to give you more than one payday. You know, when they've said, right, you've got to pay for your tickets by the end of May, when you've already got one payday, you know, a little bit more thoughtful in that sense. And then selling your ticket back, is it? The club benefit from that anyway. So it's unfortunate. It is a real shame that they couldn't listen to the main gripes of these fans that have been so many years and want to keep coming next year, as long as they can afford it, which some fans unfortunately can't now.
Well, we know which league we're in when the deadline passes. If they're by extending it for 5 days, does that we'll know if we're in the Premier League or not?
Yeah. I think one so, yeah. Thing.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Right. Just before we go to any other business, Keith says, when I recite the home record, it makes me question why I'm so confident we'll stay up. Well, Burnley and Luton were below us in those tables, and Sheffield United. Generally, we were 17th in those tables. So I still think still think we'll be all right. I still think it's been a miserable season, and the saving grace is those teams are pretty awful below us as it stands. But I still believe we'll be all right, Keith. There you go. And I would be absolutely devastated if I'm proved wrong, of course. If you haven't already, do us a favour. Hit like, hit subscribe on this video. It helps the YouTube algorithm. There's 333 people with us. And you can become a channel member. And please do give us a good review on iTunes. Emily's been scrolling through her phone for about 15 minutes. So I hope you found this hello you were going to say. Give us. Have you managed it or any other business, Emily?
I found one. I know there's another one and I just can't remember. But as I was walking over Trent Bridge on... Was it Sunday, the match? Was it Sunday? It was Sunday. Yeah, as I was walking over Trent Bridge on Sunday, a lovely chap stopped me, Simon from Canada, it was only his second ever Forest match. He went to watch us play Brighton in the Championship last day of the season, which I think, did it send them into the playoffs or send them up? We lost 2-1. It was about 10 years ago-ish. I was at that game as well. He loves the podcast, loves you, Matt. So I said I'd say hello. Really nice guy. And it was literally a whistle-stop tour to come watch Forest play Man City. And I think he was seeing some friends and then going back to Canada. So I hope you had a great time, Simon. And shame the result wasn't what you wanted it to be, but what a great game it was anyway.
There you go. Hello to Simon. Right, Greg Mitchell, anything from you before we go?
Yeah, I've banged on about music all this time. For so many weeks, months,
you've got
and
a
years
reason on it. Now, finally, though.
Yeah. So we have a music festival June the 8th at the Big Shed in the Trent Nav. We've got a lot of the bands that I've banged on about over the years on here. The Chase are superb, obviously. The Publix, these great lads from Mansfield, some solo artists, some female singers. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. And the more tickets we sell, the more we can pay these bands, many of them unsigned, you know, trying to make a career out of it with the talent. So I'd just love it if anyone could get behind this and come and buy a ticket. I'll put the links out after. It's at our sponsor's place, isn't it? Big Shed, which are amazing. So, and it's just going to be a great day. No talk of football, no talk of anything other than good music and good vibes. So if you can, just get behind it and get yourselves a ticket and I'll see you down there because I can't wait. And then the other thing was the Carlton Town versus Punjabi Reds football game on Monday, this Bank Holiday Monday, all for good causes and a lot of people I know playing in it, and the Punjabi lads are great. So they're raising money again and just creating a good atmosphere. So if you're around Carlton on Monday, get down for that.
All these bands aren't signed to you then? I just thought you were their manager.
Not yet. Not yet. That's the big plan, you know. Get me out of this get me out of this job I'm doing. Get me into music promotion. That'll do. Isn't it good to have a passion? So please help me buy a ticket and listen to some great bands. And I won't keep banging on about it every show, just every other show, I promise.
That's fine. So it's Forza Fest. When is it?
June the 8th. You could buy your tickets through Gigantic. We're giving money to charity and then to the bands. Obviously, we still haven't found the right charity. So if anyone knows any like local music ones or ones that support like people up and coming or anything like that in the local area, we're listening and we want to try and help. But the only way we can help is sell tickets. So that's the plan.
Yeah, get in touch if you've got a charity. If you've got any events for charities you want to promote as well, give me a shout on Twitter, at @MattDavis_FF is probably the easiest way to get me. So, yeah, it's not a Brasso ad that people say, my missus designed that poster. People that can use that. Yeah.
Oh, is it the Forest Focus? That I've only just seen that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Did it. Hang on.
Yeah, he could have put it on straight. Whilst he's not got his headphones in, he's not even got it straight, has it?
That's really cool. I love that.
That's brilliant.
It's coming to T-shirts soon, hopefully.
When are the mugs ready?
Bloody mugs. Stop talking about mugs. No more mug chat. No, I don't know. You have to ship them from America or something like that. I don't know. Right, I'm waffling on.
I've got loads of stickers, you know. I'm not going to start posting them out, but if anyone wants any when I'm out and about, ask. And I can give you some.
And he'll sign them for you as well, probably. Oh, it's Freddie.
I'm sorry. He's been so good. I felt like he needed just to say hello to
Freddie. Hello, Freddie. Yes, this is outstanding audio. This is. I've shown.
Did I hear him like whimpering at the start of the show?
Yeah, no, that, don't worry. That wasn't Nick. That was my dog.
Well, he's happy at the minute, isn't he? Blooming
Leicester. Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, bloody Leicester City. I thought they bought that, and then, yeah, they didn't. Oh, well, it's quite good they're coming up because they'll be on minus 8 points at the start. So that'll help us if we stay up. Right. Oh, Laura wants to know if you want Milo to come on the stream.
Yes. Yes.
No. No, my camera will knock over. Everything, there'll be smashed everything.
Yeah. But it's not Crofts. So we'll leave it there.
Look how good he is.
I know.
Right, we'll leave it there because it's going off the rails 42 minutes in.
Invite Greg and I on together, it'll go off the rails. You know we're the naughty ones.
True. I knew it was coming. Morning, Matt Wootton. We're just finishing 42 minutes in, but hello, Matt. Right, we'll be back tomorrow post-match. No, we won't. It's the wrong day. We'll be back tomorrow with a Sheffield United opposition preview with Hal from the Sheffield United Way. Spoke to him yesterday. Nice guy. I thought he might be quite hostile because of the rivalry between the clubs, but he just sounded a bit broken after relegation. So, but he did have some good insight on Sheffield United about strengths and weaknesses. And they do have some strengths. We've discussed it a little bit. So it's not going to be a banker on Saturday because it's Forest. So, yeah, we shall discuss the game more tomorrow. And then Saturday post-match with Mark and Simon Fotheringham should be making his debut for us. Lots of fans will know who Simon is. So enjoy that. Greg Mitchell, thank you very much.
Cheers, mate. I'm about to go and get moaned at now for not letting the dog up. So cheers for that.
I'm sorry. Domestic bliss continues for Greg and Laura after this podcast. So, Emily, thank you very much.
Thank you. And sorry I let Freddie come on to the podcast.
We need more of that. It's good.
More
makes animals. Me smile. Yeah.
You know, okay. Everyone needs a smile. So, yeah, no. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Good to have so many people with us this morning. Have a good day, everyone. And we shall see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.